Wanted to just jump in and just share a few thoughts that the Lord has been stirring in my heart. That's the best way I can explain that. That as a new person in Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you know Him. You know His voice. You know His ways, His leadings. And He's been stirring in my heart for the last month or so, and I've been hearing it inside of me. In Him we have, just looking at the scriptures that highlight that in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And then also in Colossians 1:14, it says similarly, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ, in whom, so often we hear it's important to know. Even Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said, it's important to feed upon the Word of God, but spend most of your time in the epistles, because the epistles were written to the church. This was the further revelation given to Paul after Jesus went to heaven, was deposited His blood in the heavenly holy of holies. But this further revelation is given to the church so that we would know what's been given to us, what's been accomplished in Christ, and that the things that have been given to us through the shed blood and His sacrifice. So we see here in Ephesians 1, it says in 1:7, in whom we have. So this is something that we have right now. We're not trying to get something. It says we have what? Through His blood. And it's what? We have something where? In Christ. In Him we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And Colossians, when it says in Colossians 1:14, I like in verse 13, when you continue that whole thought of verse 13 and 14, it says, who hath delivered us? This is, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then it continues, in whom? In Christ we've been delivered. In Christ we have been translated. In Christ we have something. We have redemption. And that redemption delivered us. It secured something for us. It secured redemption. And so, and I know they don't have this. I'll give them a moment to get this up. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 12, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, I wanted to look at that in the King James Version, then the Amplified Classic. But it says, neither by the blood, see, we're talking about in whom we have redemption through His blood, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So we have this now. We have eternal redemption. And the Amplified Classic, I like this also as another translation. It says, He went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and men. This is why they were doing that. But by his own blood, having found, I like this, and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. So he found and secured a complete redemption and an everlasting release. So this is a complete redemption, and he secured an everlasting release for us. This is another translation. They don't have this. I'll just read this. This is called the Goodspeed Translation. And it says, taking with him no blood of goats and calves, but his own, and secured our permanent deliverance. Boy, I like that. He secured our permanent deliverance. So we are delivered from what? The power of darkness. Not just a little bit. We've been permanently delivered. And I like what the Holy Ghost put in my heart the other day. He said, I'm seated and he's defeated. What did the Holy Ghost mean by that? I'm seated in heavenly places and he's defeated. I've been delivered from his power, his dominion, his influence. Hallelujah. So we have a permanent redemption. We have a permanent deliverance, and we're seated in heavenly places, and he's defeated. The devil's defeated, and we need to remind him. We need to let him know that he's under our feet. We need to let him know that we have been seated with Christ. We are in him, and that he no longer has a influence in my life. Now let's take a look. I wanted to just look again. We've entitled this message this evening, "New Man, New Blessings," and we're new persons in Christ, and we have some new blessings. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, it never gets old to look at the Word of God, because the Word of God ever expands, ever. New revelation, new insight, when it talks in Ephesians 1, then Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 19, he said that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, what? In the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So the eyes of our understanding can ever be enlightened as we feed upon the Word of God. So the King James of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know, we're talking about being in him, in whom? If we be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, this word new, it just means something unheard of before. It means something new in quality and kind, something unprecedented, something that's never existed before. Hallelujah. No prior, we could say unprecedented, no prior precedent. Something that I may serve as an example. There's no precedent here. I'm brand new. I have a brand new spirit. Hallelujah. You're a new person, or you could say a new kind of person. So you can't say I'm just a human anymore. You can't say that you're human, but you're what? Supernatural. You've got a brand new spirit. You've got the same spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. That same spirit now dwells in you. And as it says in Romans 8:11, he is quickening your mortal body. Glory to God. So the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17, I like this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Well, you know, we always say to people, well, look, you know, the outward man hasn't changed. When you receive Christ, you received eternal life. The outward man didn't change, but your inner man, that spirit that lives on the inside, he was instantly changed. He instantly received the life of Christ in him. And then the Amplified Classic, I really like this. It talks about if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So I like that because it says, this really talks about our spiritual nature when it says the old moral and spiritual condition has passed away. You know, I've shared this so many times that, you know, as I was in my younger years, you know, going through college, I worked summers and I did work with a local electrical union, and I worked, you know, even after I got out of college for about a year. But being around construction workers, and you know, it's and today it just seems to be like the vocabulary. It's a four-letter vocabulary. I could just call it a curse vocabulary. And you know, I'm talking many years ago. You know, it was the same way. People just cursed. And so I picked up that habit, just being around people like that. And I just cursed like a sailor, as they say. And I remember that the day I got saved, you know, I had a sports car. I like sports cars. And that day I just happened to come home. It was a brand new sport. You know, I had a brand new sports car. And so I happened to be doing something underneath the car. And I got under there, I did something, and I hit my hand. And normally, I would have just rattled off a bunch of curse words. And because my spirit was dead, it was not alive, didn't have the life of God in it, didn't have eternal life. And that day I had gotten saved, and I came home, and I was just doing something on the car, and I didn't curse. And I stopped. I was just like, what happened to me? You know, and it was such a radical change or a departure from what I normally would do that I just stopped. I said, what's going on? How come I didn't curse, you know? And but I remember the day I got saved, you know, there was a stirring, a burning in my spirit. I knew something had happened. A change had happened. And so what happened? God moved in. Eternal life moved in, death moved out, cursing moved out. The old, that's what it says, what I was trying to get to. The old moral and spiritual condition changed. I didn't curse anymore. And to this day, if somebody hauled off, I couldn't. It's not in me. That nature was removed. And I'm sure all of us, if we go back in our past, you know, We lived a certain way. We had habits. We did things, you know, whatever, you know. But, you know, even Brother Hagin, when he was alive, you know, he got saved and people said, oh, remember when you broke in? I said, that was the old man. That's not me anymore. And so isn't it wonderful to know that God sees us now in Christ and the past? That's what it says. Old things have what? Passed away. They're not they use this term, you know, if a person was in incarcerated in the prison system, they use this term expunged, meaning everything about that person has been removed. You can't find it anymore. If you tried looking for that person's record in their system, you wouldn't find it. It's been removed. It's been eradicated. That means our past has been removed. You can't find it. It's been eradicated. Isn't that wonderful? That is so freeing to know that God doesn't see our past. He sees us in Christ. Glory to God. So a man in Christ is what? We're a partaker of the life and the nature of God. Glory to God. So I now have what? I have a new nature. I have a new destiny. My destiny now is in Christ. It's now determined in Christ. I have a new destiny. I have new, you know, I could say I have a new DNA. You know, so there was something that a minister shared here recently by the name of Ann Durant. She said, let's just get better at being spirits. In other words, let this spirit man dominate. Let it be the inner man. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let this inner man be the greater one. Glory to God. Let him dominate. And that takes some work. We have to keep this body under, keep it under subjection. It's got a voice too. It says, I want to do this and I want to do that. We have to let this inner man dominate. We have to let this inner man rise up because he's the greater one in us. Glory to God. So this new heart, this new nature is now in us. And we are, as we were sharing Sunday in Ephesians 2:10, I like this in the Amplified Classic. Let's look at that in the Amplified Classic, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ. I'm born anew, as it says. That we may what? Do those good works which God predestined beforehand for us. And then it goes on, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Oh boy, I like this. That we should walk in them. Living what? The good life which he prearranged and made easy for us to live. You know, sometimes people would say, well, you know, I'm not living such a great life. Got all these problems, all these things. Well, that's where faith comes in. That's where the scripture says we are seated in heavenly places. We've been given authority and dominion in Christ. And so we are the ones here, his body, that is supposed to do what? Enforce the word of God. Take hold of this authority that we have and operate in it and command the devil to back up and take his hands off our life. And Galatians 2:20, I like this in the New Living Translation and then the Passion Translation. In the New Living, it says, my old self has been crucified. See, when it says that old moral and spiritual condition, it says, my old self has been crucified with who? With Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the greater one, lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I like the Passion Translation because it talks along the same line, but it expands it. It says, my old identity. I like this in the Passion. My old, in Galatians 2:20, My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross have crucified me with him. And now what? The essence of this new life, this eternal life, is no longer mine. What does it say? For the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. Glory to God. My new life, this is what I like here. My new life is what? Empowered by the faith of the Son of God. This new life that we have, this greater life, this abundant life, this Zoe life is living in and through me. How? By, in union with him, by the faith of him. Glory to God. So God is living his life. I like what the Distilled translation, they may not have this, but it says in Galatians 2:20, it says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. He's living in me. It's no longer I that live. So this physical body is alive, but his life is now, the essence of his life is living in and through me. Praise God. Glory to God. The more I think about this and the more I meditate upon it, it excites me. It never gets old, because we're always confronted, every one of us, are always confronted with the pressures of life, the pressures of, you know, existing in this life. And a day doesn't go by, but the thoughts don't come, and pressures come, and things come, and challenges come in our life. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that it's no longer I that live. It's Christ who lives in me. And he came that I would live an abundant life. And so how do I overcome? It says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4, it says, whosoever is born of God is what? Overcomes this world. And this is what? The victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. So this victory, I like this. It says, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is what? The victorious power that triumphs over the world. So the world and its ways are constantly bombarding us with thoughts and pressures. But how do we overcome? We overcome with the greater one that lives in us. Glory to God. And so we need to stir ourselves up and remind ourselves that we're brand new. We're overcomers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, there's something that, even in the simplicity of the gospel, there's power. Because what does it say in Romans 1:16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. So we have to believe the gospel, and the power of God is released in our life. This greater one, the power of God, is released in our circumstances, in our lives. So God is desiring for us to live this life by faith. You know, I'm reminded of Romans 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, when it talks about believing unto righteousness, and with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to do what? In our heart, we have to believe something, but it's not enough to just believe the word. We have to speak what we believe. Speaking is our faith being released. You know, God just didn't think the world into existence. He spoke it. He said, let this be. Let light be. Let this be. And so he spoke. We are, I like what some ministers say, we are speaking spirits. We are a spirit that's been made brand new. I have his life in me. So I believe the word of God. And then I do what? I speak the word of God. I release the power of God into the circumstances that I face. So this life, this new life that we have, we need to speak it. Let's look at the Passion Translation of Philemon, one chapter, but it's verse 6 in chapter 1 of Philemon, the only chapter, but the Passion Translation, I like this. It says that I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. So you need to do what? Communicate, speak that which you believe. And I gave them this other translation. It's called the Laubach Translation, L-A-U-B-A-C-H. But I like the way this expresses this. It says, I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. Ooh, boy. That just excites me, because we are to do what? Keep this faith that we have stirred up, not just when we come to church and we're stirred up and we go out and we receive, you know, the word of God and we get excited about what we're, you know, the fellowship and what we've heard and learned, but it says, catch your faith. So you need to have your faith stirred up and be in a ready position to share and communicate your faith. And it says, catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. It is wonderful to live in Christ. And in him, we have something. We have redemption. We have eternal life. We have freedom. And so we have healing. But I wanted to share something again. In Romans chapter 5, I wanted to look at this in verse 20, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, in the King James Version, and then another version called the Lovett Translation. And let's take a look at this. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So wherever sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But I like this translation. It says, they love it, L-O-V-E-T-T. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, God's work in Christ. See, we're talking about Christ, in being in Christ. God's work in Christ far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's fall. I'm a new person in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. My past, all the damage that was done through Adam's fall has been remitted, has been removed. And so even when we see the things that go on in our bodies, because this body has not yet been redeemed. And so it's subject to, you know, the things that, you know, it's death doomed. And so it's not eternal. It's not immortal, this body. But when Jesus returns, this mortal will put on immortality. And so this body, even that, God has in Christ given us through eternal life. Look at in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 in the King James. It says, in the King James, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken what? This mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we're not subject. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. He has no more dominion over me to make me sick. He may try. He may try and bring disease or sickness. But Christ and His Spirit that lives in me quickens and drives out sickness and disease. I like what we were sharing on Sunday, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And I believe it's 2 and 13. I may have that wrong, but I think it's Colossians 2 and 13. It says, I'm sorry, it's not Colossians, it's Philippians. Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself here. It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So He's working in us by His Spirit. He's working in my spirit. And He's doing what? Quickening this mortal body by His Spirit. Glory to God. So God has delivered us and blessed us. So I wanted to just share in closing here, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, a very familiar scripture verse. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and I want to look at this in the King James and the New Living Translation, and then another two translations. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So in Christ, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Glory to God. In heavenly places. Now let's look at the New Living Translation. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. See, it's not enough to believe this. We have to let this, I say marinate, let this meditate on this and let this, you know, impact your heart such that you begin to say this. Regardless of what's going on in your life, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I'm delivered. I'm seated in heavenly places and the devil's defeated. Now, let's look at something from the Norley translation. It's N-O-R-L-I-E. This is another translation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I'll just read part of this verse. It says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys? Ooh, boy. I don't know about you, but you just think about that for a little bit. It says, He has blessed us where? In Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. What does heaven enjoy? You run down the list. They enjoy peace. They enjoy life. They enjoy wholeness and health. They enjoy supernatural wisdom and insight. Heaven enjoys that. So why shouldn't we? He said He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. And the King James says, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what? In Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is the Laubach translation. It's Laubach in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3, it says, And Christ has blessed us with heaven's every blessing. Wow. So, you know that old saying, you know, I don't know if you've heard it, I have. Well, some people say, well, you know, we just have to wait to heaven to enjoy and partake of its blessings. No, we don't. Christ hath blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven enjoys. Oh boy, I don't know about you, but that stirs me that we don't have to wait to get to heaven, to leave this earth, to enjoy heaven's blessings. We have been delivered into and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we've been seated, and some of them it says we've been co-seated, but we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ, and we have authority in Christ, and so we don't have to wait. We have to do what? Take something by faith. This is why when we read 2 Corinthians 5:7 in the Passion Translation, it says, For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. And so this is why when you read Hebrews 11:1, it says now in the King James, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hoped for can be, you can look that up, it'll say expected. The evidence, what's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. What's not seen? All those blessings that heaven enjoys. We do what? We draw them into this realm, into this earth realm by faith, but they're already ours. He gave them to us because we have been what? In whom we have redemption through His blood. So I have these blessings, but it's going to take my faith to take them and believe that they're mine and do what? Profess that they're mine and command them to come. You command the devil to take your hands off my blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I hope that stirs your heart because it does mine, that in Him, in Christ, in whom we have something. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. So as you're going through this week, just remind yourself, I like that, write it down. It says, who's blessed us, Ephesians 1:3, in the Norley translation, it says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven enjoys, itself enjoys. Why do we enjoy that? They're ours because what? We're in Christ. Glory to God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this time that we have to share the Word of God. We thank You for stirring our hearts, Father, and watering the seed that's in our hearts. Father, that we would walk this year fully convinced that we're blessed, fully convinced and taking hold by faith the blessings that are already ours. Glory to God. And we give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're just going to take a moment and receive our offering this evening. And before I do that, you know, if there's anybody watching that maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and we always make sure that we provide an opportunity for those that might not know Jesus as their Savior, and you can. It's real simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ. As a believe with the heart, believe that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So as it says, we need to confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and that believe that he was raised from the dead. So if you do that, we just say this simple prayer, Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to die for our sins. And as you said in your word, you sent him here in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So I believe, Jesus, that you came to take my sins and to bear my sins. And I believe that you took them to the cross, you took them to hell, and on the third day you were raised from the dead. And when you were raised, I was raised. And when you were raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. So I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and I will serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that simple prayer, just let us know that you did that. We'll send you some free information as to who you have become in Christ and what you have. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen.